Balotelli. Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
Gavin keeps it. Skin on goal. Look at that pass. Hey, look! Goal! Columbus!
There are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross and Dempsey's denied again. But Donovan has scored! Can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
This is the beautiful game.
Oh, it's incredible!
Described by two uglies.
Stupendous!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
This is a thing of genius.
Welcome in. Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about some very good news, I think, for the women's national team, U.S. women's national team. Calling up a player that I think has a very bright future. We're going to talk some women's soccer. Also, we'll get into how soccer around the world is showing a disdain for the fans. And one very prominent member of a Spanish club had something to say about that. Transferring a good player to a team that could knock you out of the league. Is that a good idea? We will discuss. And getting AFCON'd is as bad or worse than getting CONCACAF. It's at least up in the conversation. All that coming up today on Bone and Beam United. Beamer, how's your week going?
Good, man. Good. Can't complain at all. You know, nice about 4-degree weather that we've had here in Columbus. So just been staying inside. I was able to take the pooch for a nice little walk yesterday, so that was good. We were able to get him out of the house. But everything's good, man. Can't complain at all. We got a lot of soccer going on, so very, very excited to get things going here. How's things going for you? How's the start to 2022?
It's been good. Same thing, cold, but trying to get out and walk a little bit with the dog when it's warm enough for him to walk,
right?
You know, but it's been good. We've had some good times so far in this new year. I'm just trying to get to, like, I don't even know. I'm just trying to get into February, because then it feels like that's when I start to get back into, okay, we're really going, like, the New Year's and Christmas and holiday hangovers all over.
Well, the hangover is continuous for me, but yeah, I understand.
That's what, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to get moved on from that a little bit and get some steam going into spring. That's what I'm looking for. And so, yeah, that's basically it, if I'm being honest. But I did see, I wanted to do this more often on the podcast, and I haven't had a chance to, or I just have forgotten to do it. But occasionally I thought it'd be good to, like, actually answer people's questions or talk to the audience via Twitter. And so I put out there before we recorded this morning, like, hey, what do you want us to talk about on the show? And I got a few good responses that I thought maybe we could go over before we get into the rest of the show, if that's okay with you.
Nope, not okay. Pass.
Well, too bad. We're doing it anyway.
Go to hell, listeners.
Keith Noss, the legendary Keith Noss, asked, best and worst uses of soccer in movies / TV.
See, I'm a bad person to ask about this. Like, I don't.
Why is that?
I have the belief that all sports related movies or TV shows are almost inherently bad. Like, I don't know why I think that. Like, I love the real look, like the documentaries that we're getting that are coming out. Like, they're fantastic. Like, F1 Drive to Survive is good. The thing that they were doing with Juventus, like, you know, All or Nothing, basically, like the Amazon version of that, that's good. Hard Knocks is good. Like, I don't know why. I just believe that, like, dramatized sports movies and TV shows, for whatever reason, for the majority, I think they stink.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think part of what Keith is bringing this up for is, do you remember last year there was this Welcome to Flatch?
Yeah.
TV show that was apparently coming around, and then we heard about it, and then we haven't really seen much about it. I guess it's still happening. I mean, it looks like it's, I saw their Twitter has started to get active, or I've seen people tweeting things they were tweeting. So I don't know. Maybe it's coming back. I don't know. But anyway, that show features, it's a mockumentary, you know, comedy documentary about, you know, fictionalized people in a fictionalized town in Ohio. And one of the main characters is always wearing Columbus Crew gear.
Mm-hmm.
Might I add, the correct Columbus Crew gear, not whatever this new crappy stupid logo is. So I am curious, if that comes out, how the crew will they embrace that? I mean, given that they're going to be basically wearing the old logo, I don't know.
Just forget about your history overnight. Sure, that seems all well and good.
I would hope they would not. I would hope they would embrace this. But anyway, I think that could be very interesting. To your point about soccer movies kind of being bad.
Not just limited to soccer movies.
No. Sports
all
movies.
Of sports movies.
Sports movies tend to be right. And one of the reasons that I feel that is because they have to make these movies for people who don't know the sport. So they're trying to bring you a drama story, usually, in a sports movie. And then they are trying to dumb it down for people who are like, but I don't know soccer at all. Why should I care? So then they try to make it more than what it actually is. The action usually isn't as good. There's one, I will say, there's a couple soccer movies that I do enjoy, or at least I enjoyed when I watched them. I have not watched them in a while.
Green Street Hooligans.
Well, no, Green Street Hooligans is one that I did enjoy, but obviously it's not really about the soccer. It's more about the hooliganism side of things, but that's an okay movie, I think. It's not, I don't think it's bad. Did you see the film Goal? The Dream Begins?
I did not.
2005. It was a British film, but it stars Kuno Becker as Santiago Munez, a guy who comes from LA and ends up getting signed by Newcastle. And he's like a kid living in Los Angeles, good soccer player, and he gets scouted and found and brought up to play at Newcastle. It's that same thing, right? Where it is a bit improbable. You don't typically just go from playing soccer in like a rec league to then suddenly ending up with Newcastle.
You also don't usually go from being an American football coach to a Premier League side either, but hey, we're living in Hollywood, right? Now, right, I'm saying, yeah. I like Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso is one. I'll say
it's
Ted
great.
Lasso is.
It's it great.
Was, to tell you how good Ted Lasso has been for bringing people into the sport, I think, or at least a little bit, there was my neighbors, actually, because I had to say I had seen the Ted Lasso, you know, commercial they made years ago. Right. And I thought that was hilarious when they did that. Then I heard they're making a whole show out of it. And I thought, OK, that's going to suck. And then my neighbors, who do not watch soccer, but they love sports, they said, have you watched Ted Lasso? And I said, no. And they said, listen, you got to watch it. And I said, okay. I said, but are they using like real soccer teams or what is the deal?
Yeah.
And my neighbor Laurel, she goes, no, I don't think so. I think all the names are made up, but it's still really good. And so then I watched it and I'm like, first episode, I'm like, nah, those are real teams. not Richmond AFC, obviously, but every
you mean
other
to tell
team
me
is.
There's a team called West Ham?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly right. So it's, I cannot, but that's cool though, right? Because that exposes people who otherwise would not care about soccer to teams. So that's, I'd say that's a good use there. But yeah, that Goal movie is all right. I'm not going to say it's great. It's okay. But yeah. Anyway, I think they went on to make like 3 sequels of that. So I wouldn't give those a watch necessarily. Cody says, how about some early morning Premier League beer recommendations? Mine is yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have a certain beer you reach for in the mornings that you wouldn't reach for in the evenings?
No. I'm really, whenever I'm awake, everything is in play. So I'm kind of cool with everything. I will tell you this. This is my strategy of watching most sports, but this is it in soccer as well. So I usually go for a nice like IPA to start. And then I will either one, throw the rest of my day and the next day away by continuing to drink IPAs throughout the entirety of the day, which is what usually happens. Sometimes when smart Brandon starts to think, he switches for a nice like crisp lager or maybe a Kolsch.
Sure.
I think a Kolsch is a very good soccer watching beer.
I think that's fair. I'm not, I mean, I will drink a stout. I used to be someone who tried to drink more stouts out of principle.
I'm about a 6 stout a year kind of a character.
Yeah, I have found that I can't do it as much as I thought I could. I still, now I do like a brown ale.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, we're talking about Newcastle with Goal. I will drink a Newcastle brown ale. You wake me up, I don't care when, 3 o'clock in the morning and hand me one, I will drink that because I enjoy Newcastle. It's one of my favorite beers. But that's about as heavy as I like to go in the morning is like a brown ale. Not even like a big stout guy, even in the mornings. The coffee stouts and stuff aren't as big for me in the morning. But no, I'll tell you, my favorite thing to drink if I'm at a soccer bar is I love a hazy New England IPA. Like that where you get the citrusy and you get all that extra
kind of like
flavor
orange
coming.
Juice with a little extra pop.
That's it. It's an orange juice with a little extra something. And that's where I'll take an Elvis juice any time of day, but those, you know, from BrewDog, like I'll get those in the morning. I could see that being a little more morning friendly.
It's like a grapefruit.
Beer.
Casey missed breakfast. Got that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Morgan, I don't know who she is, says, when are you finally going to have Dom Tiberi on as a guest? Give the people what we want. There's a few logistical problems, and we would like to have Dom on. We're going to have to, if we did it, we'd have to call him, and that means we'd have to figure out how to use the phones.
Mm-hmm. We already figured that out. That's a bad excuse because we talked to neighbor Eric on the phone, but
that's
yeah,
right. We
go
did.
Ahead.
Never mind. You did figure that out.
No, okay. But for Dom, well, then, we can't figure it out. Mm-hmm.
we could talk to Dom. We're going to have to, Dom though, it'll have to be crew heavy. I'm curious to know because, you know, Dom, he went to DeSales. DeSales has had a very good soccer program over the years. I wonder if he can maybe chime in on DeSales. Maybe he can talk about some high school soccer.
You mean to tell me he's not going to give a breakdown of AFCON?
May not. That may not be his forte. But yeah, we'll get Dom on. We'll do something with that.
We'll have him pick his favorite Italian team. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
If he were to put teams in Serie A as Italian food dishes, who would they be?
Actually, what has some legs is if you are a fan of an Italian soccer team, you should write us and convince Dom why he should pick your team as his Italian soccer team. And we'll find out. Maybe he knows some of the family history and could tell us what part of Italy, you know, that type of stuff. And then maybe there's something there where it just naturally occurs. I don't know. Homer says, are you guys going to talk about Forest knocking off the Mighty Gunners in FA Cup? And I don't think that's a bad thing to bring up at all. That was a pretty nice upset there and a terrible game by Arsenal, but shout outs to Nottingham Forest, one of the best names in soccer, one of the clubs that I think has probably a lot of fans in the US anyway, just because they're called Nottingham Forest, Sheriff of Nottingham, the you know, what is that, the Robin Hood club. I don't know why.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not aware of Nottingham Forest? Nottingham? No? Nothing?
No, I got nothing on that.
I believe it or not, I don't know if I still have it. I have to go look in the closet now and find out. I, at one point in my life, owned a Nottingham Forest jersey just because of that reason. I thought, that's cool. You literally don't know, like, Robin Hood?
I mean, I'm
Sheriff
sure I do, Bone. I just got done doing a 3-hour radio show. My mind is kind of mush right now, okay?
Okay. Robin Hood, Sheriff of Nottingham.
Nottingham Forest, I didn't think that was a real place.
I didn't think that was a real place. And then I found out Nottingham Forest is a real place and they have a soccer team. And I thought that was cool. And their logo, I don't know if it still is this. I'd have to go back and double check. But their logo for a while was just like a stylized like tree, which I thought was
also
kinda cool.
Yeah, it still is. I'm looking at their logo right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So they pulled the big upset on Arsenal, beat them, you know, at Forest. So they were hosting that game and their crowd went wild. I forget who it was that scored for them, but he scored in the 83rd minute. But.
Speaking of FA Cup upsets, how about Kidderminster, the Harriers? Did you see this? They beat Reading. They're in the sixth tier of English football.
Kidderminster. Okay, so I have the full, I didn't know we were going to get into this, but I have it here. The full draw for the FA Cup fourth round has been made.
Yeah, amazing.
So these are, here are your matchups, okay? There are 32 teams left. Which, by the way, Arsenal not being one of the 32, yikes. All right, Crystal Palace taking on Hartlepool United.
Love them.
Shouts to them, yes. Yep. AFC Burnmouth, technically, against, it's Boreham Wood. I'm going to say it's Boreham Wood.
Boreham Wood.
But
rivals
Boreham
of West
Wood
Ham.
Is,
yeah.
Yes.
Battle of the Hams. Rumham.
Yeah, they're perfect. Huddersfield Town versus Barnsley.
Yep.
Brother Bone is going to be thrilled. Peterborough United hosting Queen's Park Rangers.
Queen's Park Raisins, as Louis Van Gaal likes to call them.
And Queen's Park Rangers club legend Gino Padula played for the Crew.
All right.
Club legend for the Crew was also a club legend at Queen's Park Rangers. Let him live. Now you can, and he, by the way, if you want to go learn from a club legend on two different continents, he has a soccer academy in Westerville. So go hit up Gino Padula and he'll teach your six-year-old how to play soccer. Cambridge United playing Luton Town.
Love that.
I always feel like Luton Town is just like every time you walk into a store, someone's just walking in there stealing a television.
I feel Luton. Like whenever I hear Luton Town, it's just the city full of dock workers. That's my perception of Luton Town. I don't know why. Don't even know if they're on an ocean. I have no clue. It's just a city like full of dock workers.
They're like a landlocked cheese capital of England in the middle of dairy country. And you're like, yeah, Luton Town.
Yeah.
All of them working on the docks, mate. Rolling them cigarettes, you know. Southampton taking on Coventry. Chelsea versus another great team named Plymouth Argyle.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like, noted Massive Report editor for many years, Patrick Golden, has something that is made out of Plymouth Argyle. He likes to wear lots of plaids and various things like that.
Him and Roy Williams.
Yeah, exactly. Everton versus Brentford. Your aforementioned Harriers of Kidderminster taking on West Ham.
Awesome.
Hopefully West Ham and Boreham can play each other, and that'll be Battle of the Hams. Manchester United taking on Middlesbrough. Tottenham taking on Brighton Hove Albion.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool versus Cardiff. Stoke versus Wigan. My Nottingham Forest. I'm adopting them. Taking on Leicester. Manchester City taking on Fulham. Fulham will lose.
Yep.
I hate that because I love Fulham, but that sucks. And finally, Wolves taking on Norwich City. There you go. That's your FA Cup draw for the fourth round.
Fun fact about Kidderminster, too, is that their stadium holds 6,000 people. So,
yeah,
pretty sure you can find high school stadiums here in Columbus that hold more than that.
Hide your wife, hide your kids. Let me say this about having a stadium with 6,000 people. Fuck yeah.
That's yeah, awesome. I agree.
That's fuck yeah. the less the merrier. That's what I say. there you go. By the way, do you know what they win if a team wins in the fourth round of the FA Cup? Do you know how much money they pick up? A
couple hundred grand?
£90,000.
That's a lot for a team like Kidderminster.
How many players on Manchester City are on a weekly wage?
Yes.
More than £90,000?
Yes. Most of them.
Most. Yeah,
how many players for City drive cars worth more than £90,000?
Yes, every one of them. Yeah. Kidderminster, meanwhile, if they win their matchup with West Ham, tall order. Mm-hmm. But if they were to do it, I bet that $90,000, they double the size of their stadium. They build another stadium for $90,000. They can get two. They can have now a second stand over there. So. All right, there you go. I'm looking forward to the FA Cup. That all, by the way, takes place Friday the 4th, Monday the 7th of February. That is the weekend where those will be playing. Actually, across that weekend, Friday to Monday, coming up in a few weeks. So there you go. Let's get into next. You asked me a question before the show, and I guess this comes technically from the illustrious Bobby Carpenter.
Correct.
Which is, what was the question?
All right, so we were talking about the Super Draft, MLS Super Draft. And I was going over the results for the crew, and Bob asked me, he goes, well, what makes the draft so super? And he stumped me. I had no idea. We had Patrick Murphy on the program. I asked him too. So now I'm looking to your vast expanse of soccer knowledge and telling me what makes MLS Super Draft so super.
Back in the day. See, this is going to be a little, give me 2 minutes of boring MLS history to get you the answer on that. Okay. So what the Super Draft is today is it is the draft where the college soccer players are taken and selected by MLS teams.
Yeah.
Okay. This has been done since the league's inception of having a draft of college players. However, this draft used to be two separate drafts.
Okay.
Where the college draft was the first, they would have that. Where they would just take college players from college teams, MLS teams would draft them, just like the NFL draft, the NBA draft, etc. And then they also had the supplemental draft, in which players who were coming into the league but had not been assigned a team, because remember, MLS is a single entity organization, and in the single entity organization, early on especially, the league would sign a bunch of players and then... they would, if they didn't already like have a reason to put a player on a team, or let's just say, you know, like back in the day, the crew wanted to bring in Paul Caligiuri. I don't remember if he was a supplemental draft guy, but he got assigned to the Crew more or less. And then he was just like, absolutely not. I will not play for them. I think he wanted to play in LA. I can't remember. But anyway, they MLS changed something and moved him over there. Anyway, the point is the supplemental draft was for all the guys who weren't like already assigned to go to some team for league reasons. They could just take a guy who was coming into the league from some other, you know, indoor league or wherever they were coming from. So in 2000, they decided, let's take the college draft and the supplemental draft and put them together and we'll call it the super draft.
Okay.
They have since abandoned doing that version of the super. They still have their own like separate supplemental draft now, but the super draft was theoretically a combination of the college draft and that, but they still just call it the super draft, even though it's the college draft.
Got it.
This is why Major League Soccer has such trouble with everything.
Well, there are also other avenues of signing players now, better.
Yeah, the draft was also, you have to remember, Major League Soccer, when they first started, were trying to show Americans, hey, we're like your other pro leagues.
Right.
You know, they have drafts, we have a draft.
Yep.
But everyone who watches soccer knows that's not really how you find players in any other league, right? So the academy system, all the best college players come up through your academies anyway. They're signed through your academies, even if they go off and play for a college, right? They're homegrowns. They get traded like that. The guys who end up in the super draft
it's
are
like
probably
Aiden Morris, right? I mean, he went to Indiana. He played for the Hoosiers. Chris yeah. Dorn, very excited about that. But he was an academy player here in Columbus.
Right. So that is all correct. So the super draft is players who don't fit quite into that category, but they are still good players. So you do see occasionally a few good players come out of the super draft every year, right? I mean, it does happen, but that's not by and large where you're finding your superstars in MLS these days. So that is why I think it is paid less and less attention every single year. The Crew, I know, drafted a goalkeeper, I want to say, out of St.
Justin
Louis.
Schulte.
There you go. Let him live. I think the guys they currently have under contract, right, are Aloy Room, and I think they just brought Evan Bush back. So those guys are, like, each in their 30s. So, sure, get a younger player.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him up. That's good. So now you have your MLS Super Draft history. If I got some of that wrong, I'm sorry. It's early and... That's all from memory. I don't have much to go off of in my memory. So that's
my memory's already burnt.
That's fine. Let's switch gears and let's talk women's soccer because, you know, we don't talk about it enough. We need to talk more about it. And this is a player that I think will get more people excited about women's soccer in this country. Trinity Rodman just got her first call up to the U.S. women's national team, which is awesome. If you're not familiar with Trinity Rodman, she is, in fact, if that's your question, yes, she is Dennis Rodman's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But she is...
Neighbor Eric said, I have no idea who did it.
He does. He knows Dennis Rodman is Trinity Rodman's dad.
That's true.
That's it. That's the frame. Like,
why, yeah, why the fuck do I need to know who Dennis Rodman is? God, yeah. Love him, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great. So anyway, Trinity Rodman, 19 years old, was the NWSL's Rookie of the Year this year. So really good season for her. I did not watch a ton of the NWSL this year, full disclosure, but that is a goal for this year, is to actually go to some women's professional games.
Cool.
I want to take the kids. We want to, you know, last year we wanted to do that too. We didn't get to go out and take as many road trips as we wanted, but that is something we're trying to do this year more. And that's one thing we would like to do. So this particular camp that she got called into is interesting because it's running from January 19th to the 28th. There are no friendlies scheduled in conjunction with this, but there is the She Believes Cup coming up in mid-February, which is always something that the U.S. Women's National Team participates in. So this is a chance for, you know, the women's national team and Vlatko Andonovski to get a look at some players who haven't been capped, right? She's not the only one, Trinity Rodman, getting a call up here. Aubrey Kingsbury, who's a goalkeeper for the Spirit, which is the same team that Trinity plays on. She's going to take part in this camp. San Diego Wave defender Naomi Gurma is joining the camp as well. And of course, this camp is being held in my favorite soccer city in the world,
Cincinnati.
Austin. Well, even better, Austin, Texas. So, yeah. Anyway, so that they're bringing in some veterans, some young players who haven't got to play. I think that's good, right? Get some experience for some of the
Absolutely.
Younger players.
You got
to
get their experience at some point.
Yeah, and they're not going to get to play in a game necessarily due to this, but maybe if a couple players impress in training, maybe they'll get the call into the She Believes Cup.
Well, and that's all the point, right? I mean, just getting on the radar and saying, this is something that I'm doing. Doing it professional, obviously. I know that the U.S. Women's National Team is incredibly hard to break into for their squads that they come up with these tournaments, but you got to start somewhere, right? And so the best way to do these and the best way to do that is in these camps that they're holding.
Yeah, absolutely. And just watching some of the highlights from Trinity Rodman, who I had known she was coming up through the ranks. I had known of her connection, obviously, because of Dennis Rodman, which that is my like era of NBA watching was the Dennis Rodman era. That is when, I mean, I probably watched 100 games that involved Dennis Rodman back in his time, you know, back when there was no NBA TV,
right.
No NBA package, just the nationally televised games. That's how many basketball games I watched back then. And they were a lot of them featuring the Bulls. And then when he went on and obviously played for the Pistons before and Spurs and all these other places, like, I mean, I watched a ton of games that involved him. So obviously we know he's had some interesting moments.
Yeah. Some things
during, and after,
by the way, too.
Trinity Rodman. There you go.
Netflix show. Dennis Rodman's Big Bang in Pyongyang is a pretty good one where he gets to go over to North Korea, put on an exhibition basketball game and gets to meet Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un. It's very, very good.
They actually have a show about that. I did not know they actually have put that out.
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's fascinating.
I didn't know they are. Yeah, I would definitely watch that. Because I remember when all that was going on and we just thought, what is this guy doing? So I'd love to find out, what is this guy doing? But yeah, she watching her highlights, though, man, you can tell, she's got another gear. Like when it's one of those players that when the ball is out in the open field and it's two players going for the ball, she's going to win it 90% of the time. Like she has that get there speed, and then she is physical on the ball and a really good finisher. I see why she was Rookie of the Year. So yeah, excited to see what she can do, hopefully for the U.S. Women's National Team eventually. All right, let's go shift gears and go all the way across the ocean over to Spain, kind of. Raul Garcia is not happy about some of the things going on with this cup that's basically the FA Cup of Spain.
Right.
Right. What was his major issue here, Beamer?
So they are playing the Super Cup, the Spanish Super Cup. They're actually doing it in Saudi Arabia. And if you ask yourself why Saudi Arabia have maybe less strict COVID rules, you know, policies and everything than Spain, I guess, you know, that's probably a good place to go to mentally. Like, yeah, you know, Omicron's running wild. We're going to take our guys. They always get away for a little bit of a holiday break anyways. Then they have a restart. I know that the Bundesliga does a lot of these, like kind of, you know, get your legs back and they go to different countries. So they're playing the Super Cup, and you already saw it. A few soccer podcast days on a Thursday, had El Clasico yesterday between Barcelona and Real Madrid, coming out on top in that one. But they're actually playing this over in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. And so I looked and you looked before this, like, again, maybe it's because of COVID. Well, no, they were supposed to have this in Saudi Arabia last year, the semifinals and the finals of the Spanish Super Cup, but apparently they weren't able to do it last year, so now they're taking it on the road this year, and nobody in the world seems to know why other than money going directly into La Liga and going into that cup.
Yeah, and I want to say Raul Garcia's his quotes that he had were basically something about, like, do the fans even matter?
Correct.
Like, why are we not doing,
like, it's becoming apparent that it's just all about money.
Yeah, and I know they changed up the Super Cup, right, where it used to be more like the FA Cup, where it was just any team from any level could play, and then they kind of said, okay, never mind, we'll take the top four teams and a couple other teams that we think are fun and make it kind of like a mini tournament, not really as big as what it used to be. But then, yes, they repackaged it and said, oh, and it's going to be played in another country because there's going to be money. I'm sure there was a lot of money that changed hands to get that to happen, but yeah, I'm sure that's good for the league. I'm sure Spanish soccer makes a lot of money from doing this, but at what cost, right? You want to grow the game. You want young fans. Obviously, I don't think in Spain it's going to be a problem to get young fans to enjoy soccer, but you know, don't look now, but 50 years from now, perhaps you could see younger generations, things like this turning them off to soccer or frustrating them a little bit with certain aspects of soccer. And then maybe they gravitate more to other sports like basketball, which is also popular and gaining popularity, has been over the last 20 years in Spain. I don't know. I just think that's a really short-sighted thing by the organizing powers there to decide to play the Spanish Super Cup not in Spain.
Yeah, I was reading about it, and so it said on November 12th of 2019, it was announced that the Supercopa would expand to 4 teams and will be held at King Abdullah Sports City in Jeddah for the next 3 years in a deal valued at 120 million euros. So yeah. There you go. Okay. That's the reason.
Man, it's tons of money. And I don't, again, I'm sure that's good for your coffers. Is it good for you 20, 30 years from now? And that's the problem. Most of the people who run world soccer don't care about 20, 30 years from now.
Well, and they also, you're crumbling.
They care about the money now.
You're not going to say crumbling your fan base, because your fan base is still going to care.
Yes.
You know, about what you do. But all in all, I mean, is the Supercopa the biggest thing in the world? No, absolutely not. But at the same time, it's similar to the Carabao Cup, right? It's like, all right, well, it's a Carabao Cup, it's an English League Cup, whatever. Does it matter to your fans who live and breathe with every move that your club makes and every game that you play? Do you think there should be some sort of reward? Like, if you're going out, I don't know, take for example, if you're a Real Madrid or Barcelona fan, right? I mean, how ungodly are the ticket prices to get into the door? I don't know. I don't know what face value tickets are. But if you're able to scrap together some money, and perhaps Supercopa, I don't know, maybe the tickets will be less than what they are for a normal league game. I have no idea. But, like, the fact that you're not having it in your home country to me is just, it's kind of outrageous. The Club World Cup, that's its own thing that we have going on. Like, there's so many different cups, but, like, to rip that away from your home city and basically tell a middle finger to your home supporters, be like, nah, you're not going to be able to travel here. Or if you're going to be able to travel here, you're going to have to pay an arm and a leg getting into Saudi Arabia and then going to the game. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. We've lost the plot. We've lost sight of
it.
It's a
huge barrier to entry, and I don't understand why you want to do that. Ultimately, like you said, is it going to cause, well, we've had here, right? You've had NFL games go be played in London.
Sure.
That doesn't turn off NFL fans necessarily, but I guess I look at it more from the standpoint of growing up in Columbus. You know, the big ticket in town when I was growing up was, of course, Ohio State Buckeye games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not in a family that had the connections or had the resources to go have season tickets.
Yeah.
We would occasionally get from people we knew, they might say, oh, hey, Akron's coming to town. Here you go. You want a couple tickets? And that we might get one of those once every few years, right? But every year, the spring game existed.
Yeah.
The spring game was free or, you know, a couple
$5,
whatever it was.
Yeah.
I think they started charging much later for that just to do for the charity thing. But the point is still being able to have that even today for people who don't have the means to afford to get to go to an Ohio State football game. But that helped me remain an Ohio State football fan because I did get to watch something. You know, I got to go and see the horseshoe. I got to see football played in the horseshoe.
You get to experience the history of what that place means.
Yeah. And if I never got to do that until I was in my like 20s when I, you know, could afford to do it, or I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have developed as strong of a love for Ohio State football. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, something like the Spanish Super Cup, I would guess what it was prior to what they've turned it into, there probably were a lot of people who didn't get to regularly go to some of these big club matchups who maybe could afford those tickets and go get to see their team play. And now they can't. And that's just stupid. Speaking of stupid, defending MLS champs, New York City FC, they are in the CONCACAF Champions League. Their first game comes up 4 days before the start of MLS season. And
all right,
they
so
have
here
elected,
in about a month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up that soon. They have elected to play their Champions League game. Well, they didn't elect to do anything. They can't play it at Yankee Stadium or at Citi Field, mm-hmm. their first two choices for venue, because CONCACAF, which again, I want to stress, CONCACAF fields, if you've seen them over the years, not exactly the highest bar to cross to say this is a good standard of playing surface. CONCACAF said, your outfield MLS home stadium that you use in Major League Soccer, that's not good enough for CONCACAF Champions League. We will not let our teams play there. So good job, Don Garber.
Yep.
You have lower standards than fucking CONCACAF.
Yeah, good job. Good job, buddy.
Morally bankrupt idiot. Anyway, so that's That's unfair. He's morally bankrupt, but not because of Yankee Stadium. That's a different story. Right. Anyway, so they couldn't play there. Next one was Red Bull Arena. They said, what Red Bull Arena is right there. We can use our rival stadium. They'll let us use it. And Red Bull Arena said, fuck off. We're redoing our field. You can't have it. So then they said, okay, well, then I guess we just have to play wherever we want, right? And CONCACAF said, yeah, just find a field that isn't your crap-ass baseball stadium, which is so funny because Yankee Stadium is not a crap-ass stadium, but for soccer purposes,
it stinks.
Garbage. It's terrible. Anyway, so they've elected to play their first CONCACAF Champions League game this season at LAFC's Bank Stadium out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Their reason for that is because they're going to play the Galaxy to start the season off. And they said, well, let's just be out on the West Coast and train out there for a couple weeks and be ready for the season. We don't have to travel as much.
Way to reward your fans.
Yeah. The Champions League is supposed to be one of those.
It's the pinnacle of what you can do.
I know it's cold. I know it's the, you know, maybe in New York. This might speak to the larger issue, right? Because I can't imagine many MLS cities saying, you know what's really good of us? Let's get away from where our fans are, because to be honest, we're not going to have a ton of people come out anyway. That, I think, speaks more to what the problem is with NYCFC, is that it's not a big enough deal in New York. That you think they're doing, like, round-the-clock coverage of how much this is stupid? Are they doing that on WFAN today? No, they're not doing it. They don't care. No one there cares. Not no one. A large majority of the sporting public there is not even aware this is happening.
Right.
And that is a truly dumb thing. And yet Major League Soccer wants to call New York City FC one of their premier clubs. Mm. And it's not. But hey, good for them. They deserve to win the title. It's always good to see the smaller underdog teams win these titles. So there you go. And NYCFC, good luck. Maybe that'll get a few more eyeballs to watch your product now. And unfortunately, you get lost in the shuffle in New York there. Speaking of underdogs, Newcastle and Burnley, not exactly two teams that are lighting the Premier League on fire right now, both trying to avoid relegation. But I saw that Newcastle signed Chris Wood. Transfer window's open. They transferred and got him from Burnley. Do we like this? Is that good? I'm not saying for good for Newcastle, bad for, I'm saying good in the sense of you're trading for a guy while both of you are fighting for relegation to avoid relegation. I mean, I don't know why the money must have been good enough for Burnley. I guess that's what they're.
Yeah, it's 25 million pounds, right? I mean, it's not an insignificant deal that they're getting from Chris Wood. So here's your Premier League table. All right, I'll just go 15 to the bottom. Everton's on 18 games played, 19 points. Leeds is right there, 19 games played, 19 points. Watford is in 17th, safe from relegation by a whopping 2 points. 13 points on 18 games. Ooh. Burnley has 17 games played with 11 points. Newcastle, 19 games played on 11 points. And Norwich, for sure, is going to get relegated with only 10 points in 20 games. They have been very, very bad. What is interesting, and I thought maybe this was going to be the case, a lot of these teams have already kind of played, majority of the teams at 19, 20, 21 games played in the Premier League. And I thought, okay, maybe Newcastle's played Burnley. I'm not quite up on my schedules. I don't know their recent history with each other. This is a team that is in direct battle with you to stay up in the league and, oh yeah, have a giant windfall at the end of the year if you are able to stay up. Bone, Newcastle and Burnley play on the last day of the Premier League schedule, be deciding on which team stays up and which team goes down.
Could you imagine if Chris Wood ends up with the goal?
Of course.
That sends Burnley out? I mean, so many things would have to happen between now and then. Burnley would still, number one, both of these teams would still have to have not one or the other have been fully relegated. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Where it would have to come down to it's decision day.
This has happened plenty of times before.
Yes, of course, I know. But I'm saying, like, it could be that either of them is fighting some other team, right? It could, you know what? I guess that's possible, right? That, let's say, Newcastle is clear, but Burnley needs to win to avoid relegation. And then that's how it could happen, right? I'm not even saying it has to be Newcastle versus Burnley. Whoever wins stays up. It may not be that perfect, but God, could you imagine? I know this is not the first time that transfers like this have happened. Every time I see it, I go, that's just weird.
Something off about that.
It is very weird, right? I mean, in the NBA, you have, I guess, not quite the same thing, but you have like the Sixers and the Hawks are both talking about trading some of their star players back and forth, like Cam Reddish from the Hawks and John Collins going over to the Sixers for Ben Simmons, who has, you know, been a mental head case for them. But those are two teams in the East that presumably could be playoff teams. And they're, I mean, so it's not unheard of that teams do this in other sports. It's just, it's weird. And obviously, in Burnley's case, you're not getting players back. You're getting cash.
Yeah, and maybe you can turn that into players.
Turn into players, correct. Yeah. If you're quick enough on the trigger to do it. But yeah, that's what a weird thing. I still never feel good when I see.
Is it bad that I'm actively cheering against Newcastle to get relegated?
You are. Yeah. Why?
A whole investment, new ownership. I don't know. Well, that's the way.
Yeah, we need to get my buddy. We need to have Jason Nicholson. Buddy of mine who we were going to have on earlier.
He's not going to like me for that comment.
No, he is the biggest Newcastle fan I know and is a guy that we were planning to have on a few weeks ago. We wanted to have him on and it just didn't work out. But anyway, like he was no doubt hated the old ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you feel about now. Yes, having another Saudi investment group come in that's going to throw ridiculous
money.
Well,
I feel like you know the inevitable is going to happen. Like, all of a sudden, I mean, Newcastle's a very proud club with their history, but I feel like it's the inevitable, right? I mean, the more money you have, it is pay to play, and so at some point, they're going to break through the wall. They're going to be one of the highly ranked teams in the world because they're going to be able to spend the cash and pay with the players whatever they want. FIFA fair play rules be damned. And so I kind of want to see him go through the mud. I kind of want to see him having to battle back from relegation. Will the owners be that interested when they're not in a Champions League spot? I want to see that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I wonder how that goes. But, man, if they get relegated out, you find out real quick how committed they are and what they're going to do. That would obviously they're trying to spend some money and make it happen this year and avoid all that. So, yeah, that's a really interesting thing. We'll try to get Jason on the next few weeks and talk to him about that because I do need to get more his insight on that Newcastle situation. I'd love to hear more from him about it. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll talk about the African Cup of Nations and, wow, wild times, one of the worst referees in history. That's up next. Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. So the African Cup of Nations is going on, mm-hmm. and there was a game between Mali and Tunisia. And that's not a game I'm not gonna lie. We probably would not be talking about that game. Not probably two teams we pay a ton of attention to. There's a lot of teams in world soccer this just in. But with that game, there was perhaps one of the most egregious refereeing displays I've ever seen. Probably, I'm assuming, Beamer, you've ever seen.
Pretty baffling.
Do you have the full list of what happened here? Because the referee's name, this is a referee who came under intense scrutiny, Zambian referee Yanni Sikazwe, Jannysikazwe.
Use that
Johnny
for a word
Sikazwe.
A word.
Yeah, right. So he came under the spotlight after this controversial ending. Explain to people what happened for those who didn't see it.
All right. So Sikazwe apparently initially he blew for full time after a total of 85 minutes and 11 seconds. All right. Soccer games, 90 minutes, especially on world tournaments, 90 minutes at least.
Kind of known for being 90. It's one of the things that everyone instantly goes like, oh, the clock counts up, not down. What are they counting to? 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Like 90 minutes. It's one of the first things you learn when you watch soccer.
Okay, so he blew for full time after 85 minutes and 11 seconds. Then there was recommendations in which Sikazwe handed out a red card for a VAR challenge. VAR buzzed down to him, said, hey, we don't think that's a red card worthy offense. You need to take that back. Sikazwe didn't listen to VAR recommendations, kept the red card in the books, and finally called full time on the contest at 89 minutes and 42 seconds. So He caught it once at 85-11, and then all of a sudden did it again on 89-42 or whatever I just displayed. And then right in between that, also overturned a VAR challenge to keep the red card on the field that wasn't deserving so by the VAR refs up in the booth.
Yeah. So Mali, they won this game 1-0 over Tunisia, and there were two penalties awarded in this game. That isn't necessarily controversial, right? That he awarded two penalties. He had 28 fouls awarded. That's not too controversial. The two early full-time whistles are incredibly suspicious. The red card not getting rescinded after VAR, suspicious. The Tunisian coaches were just losing their minds.
They're as pointing, I would be as well.
They're pointing at, there's pictures of them, you know, pointing at the ref, pointing to the, you know, assistant referee and pointing their watch going, it's not 90 minutes yet. Like, what is happening on this? And so people are speculating, did Yanni Sakazwe, was he betting on this game? Did he have something on the outcome? And that's why he tried to end the game as early as he possibly could. Perhaps, right? I don't think you can rule that out. I also don't think you can rule out the fact that sometimes people are just stupid, but we are talking about someone who has been a, you know, a high level FIFA referee, not knowing when the whistle should be blown in a game. That's pretty suspect. Now, Beamer, what if I told you that Yanni Sakazwe was suspended by the African Federation in 2018 for corruption in the African Champions League? Would that be of anything you'd want to know for backstory on this?
Yeah, probably. I think that's probably a little important piece of the puzzle there.
I mean, it's there's no doubt why people are speculating that there was some kind of corruption going on here when you do something like that. It's just it's inexcusable, man. I don't know how you get to keep your job after that. I also don't know when you're suspended for corruption, how you're then allowed to referee like big, you know, continental tournaments.
I don't either.
Like that.
I don't either. No, I don't get it.
This has happened in other FIFA led, you know, tournaments as well, where someone gets suspended for doing something terrible or just being bad at their job. Let's not even take corruption into account. Let's just say he's just dumb or bad.
You're
or,
bad
or
ref.
not a great soccer coach or soccer referee, soccer coach. That's what my kids call the referees.
Mm-hmm.
They still occasionally say the coach. And I'm like, no, the referee. Let's get that right. But like that, I don't understand why incompetence, they say, oh, well, it's been 3 or 4 years. Let's let him back in. Why? Like, your goal, there's not other people who can referee these games? If you, I will say this, if you blow the whistle twice before 90 minutes, and let's just say it truly is a complete misunderstanding, and you just lost track of time or didn't have a backup system and didn't really know how to keep track of it the right way, you still should not be allowed to ever referee a high-level game like this.
No, of course.
Ever again.
Of course.
It's a complete joke.
By the way, African Cup of Nations is a great gift that keeps on giving. Did you see the player who went off injured on the stretcher and then subsequently got ran over by a golf cart? I mean, it's unbelievable.
That golf cart came in hot. That golf cart was like, we're getting there. We got to help him. We got to get there quickly so that he doesn't risk further injury.
All right.
My
question to you is, getting AFCON or getting CONCACAF worse? Because I feel like there's a lot of verbiage flying around.
Yeah, I feel like AFCON.
That's pretty bad.
We've had some bad CONCACAF, but it's usually just. Yeah. We've seen some CONCACAFing that's like 8 minutes of stoppage time. That's suspect, right? That's the opposite. But at least you
at least
have a chance.
It's not 84 minutes.
Right. Good enough. My team won.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how Nottingham
Forest? There's a lot of pressure right now that they're building up. I don't like the attack. You know what? I have the power full time.
Is that how Nottingham Forest beat Arsenal? Is that what we're to believe? Is that they scored in the 83rd minute. They just cut it off.
Exactly. Game didn't even go 90.
What I know is this. I look forward to seeing Yanni Sakazwe refereeing big games in the World Cup this year, because that's what probably will happen. Is FIFA is just, they're the kings of like, oh, what is it? You hate this? We're gonna make sure you see more.
You've got Belgium and Argentina, match right. Referee for today, Yanni Sakazwe.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, good times there. If you've got anything you want us to talk about on the podcast, of course, you can always hit us up on Twitter at Bonebeam United. And of course, if you've made it this far, we would appreciate it if you could rate, review the podcast, give us 5 stars, And of course, hit subscribe if this is the first one you're checking out.
Nobody's made it this far into the podcast, by the way.
Probably not. I don't blame you if you haven't. We will be back next week. We'll have more thoughts on whatever is going on in the world of soccer from right here in the state of Ohio. Till then, see you later. Bone and Beam United.